So today I want to continue in our series in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 89, is the Hebrew letter Lamed. We'll be there for 2 weeks. If you give me 2 weeks to study, you get an hour and a half message. So we had to break that up. So we are just going to do the first three verses of Lamed, verse 89, 90, and 91. And my goal for today is thanksgiving and encouragement. The Psalms in the Scripture have been tremendously encouraging, strengthening, and a source of thanksgiving to me through this time. And as we look at these first three verses, I'm going to focus on thanksgiving and encouragement from these simple verses. The Hebrew word lamed, as the letter lamed, as you can guess, sounds like an L. That is a picture of it over there. It comes in different fonts, of course, but that's the basic look of lamed. There's a word that corresponds to it, a Hebrew word, Lamad. And the somewhat meaning for Lamed as the letter, Lamad as the word, is to learn. And it's to learn to be able to teach and do. Very foundational to the Jewish belief, to Judaism, to the Hebrew people, that you are learning, always learning, to be able to teach and do, to be able to pass on and to model. Very foundational to the Jewish person. So Lamed and Lamad is learning and correspondingly teaching and doing. It moves, it changes. The symbol, the picture, they always have a picture that goes with their letters, is the goad. They think that somehow that looks like a goad. But as you know, a goad would not only inflict some sort of notion to that animal, it would direct their path. And so that is the picture. I'll develop this more as we go a little bit later today, and then tomorrow, next Sunday, I will develop that even more as we look at this Lamed section of Psalm 119. I just want to read, for now, I want to read verse 89, 90, and 91, and then kind of develop those for you with a thought towards thanksgiving. Not only how we can learn this passage, but then how we can apply it, how meaningful it actually is to us in our lives as we go through this time. Before I read, let me just ask the Lord to bless this scripture. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, as I've had some really good food this Thanksgiving, it's been your word that has sustained me and picked me up and encouraged me. So thank you for your word. Lord, bless, I pray, the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 89, Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. I want to walk through these three verses, and we're going to go to some other scriptures as well. So be prepared to turn the pages of your Bible. But I want to walk through these and show you so much of what we have to be thankful for and encouraged by in such a simple, simple portion of Scripture. If we were to look at these three verses as kind of a whole, and I've drawn these little arrows in my Bible, you could do it like this, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." You could draw an arrow up, "Forever in the heavens, Lord, forever your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." And then you could go, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations," and you could put your arms out like this and have arrows, because that's kind of a time thing. "Your faithfulness endures to all generations in the heavens, to all generations. You've established the earth," and you could point down, "you've established the earth, and it stands fast by your appointment. They stand this day, today, they stand, for all things are your servants." So you got arrows going up, you got arrows going down, you got arrows going out to all times, and this day, they stand by his appointment. Today, in our country, in our life, God has appointed his word, his faithfulness to stand. It's a beautiful thing. First thing, the first encouragement, the first thanksgiving I want us to look at and develop just a little bit is the very first word, forever. Forever, O Lord. Forever, O Lord. You and I, and let's just understand this, you and I get this. Let's just cover this with grace. There is only one person who owns the word forever, and it's God. There is only one person who can speak something and say, that's how it is. And it's God. It's not me and you. It's not. He owns the word forever. Now, similarly to this, I could direct you in the New Testament, say to Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, Jesus is teaching and he says, for you, it's yes and no. Anything more than that is evil. Matthew 5:37, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, as for your speech, it's just yes and no. Anything more than that's evil. James, Jesus' kind of half-brother, 5:12, he follows up with this, and he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, that you don't fall into condemnation. So he doesn't want us, and James says, don't swear an oath by any other thing. Just let your yes be yes and your no, no be no. And the reason is that you and I, we can't proof anything we say. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I can't proof that. I think I am. I'm going to do everything I can to do that. But my speech, what I say, my yes and my no, are fallible. I could say yes or no to you and mean it with my whole heart, with every intent, and it's fallible. And so I'm told more than once, look, just yes and no. Just be honest. Just be straight up, transparent. Let's all look at each other that way that whatever any of us says is fallible. We may mean well with it, but there is only one person whose speech is infallible, and that's God. And when He says, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is fixed in the heavens," you better believe that's the truth. He owns the word forever. He can stand behind His word and it will never, ever move. And so when He says for all generations or in heaven or on earth, they're appointed by You. They're not going anywhere. You can trust what He has said. It's infallible. Forever, O Lord, Your word. He is assigned, this is very cool, He's assigned the word forever to His word. You hold forever in your lap. That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm so thankful to the Lord that He has given me a piece of forever in His word. It is never, never going away, and it is never going to fail. It is infallible. Me and you, we can count on this every second, every day, going up to heaven, down to earth, for all generations. This day, I hold a piece of forever in my hand. It's His will. It's His declarations. It's His statutes. It's His direction. It's His instruction. It is forever for you and I. We are blessed this day to have these little leather-bound things in our lap. They are God's forever, ever, and ever word. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. We'll come back to that verse in a minute. Another application from a simple text such as this. Many of us in this room have kids and or grandkids. Question B. As we watch this world change, as we watch things move and reset and take a different shape, gosh, you're just getting started. The baby. Let me ask you a question. How much should we worry about those next generations, about those grandkids? How much should we worry about them not having God, not finding God, God not being available? How much should we worry about our future generations of kids and grandkids? And the answer, your faithfulness endures to all generations. That next generation, my grandkids, my kids, that baby, God will be faithful to them. And don't you think He won't? He is faithful to all generations. He has been through the Old Testament. Israel was very disobedient, turned from Him over and over. God is faithful, faithful to all generations. We never have to worry because of this verse. We never have to worry that He won't be available to them. He won't be at a prayer's reach to them. That He isn't bigger and larger than any life that our country has. God will be with the next generation and the next generation, and the next is available to them. He can pick them up out of any muddy hole this country finds itself in. He can carry them above it. He can be victorious over it because his faithfulness endures to all generations. Now, with that said, go home today and read Romans 1. For that may be what you're thinking. God gave them over to their sin. God gave them over to their sin. That's clearly what it says. And it lists a nice list, two or three times, he gave them over. Lust of their mind and their flesh. Well, the things they knew that were bad, they not only did them, but they celebrated them. God let them go to their sin. He gave them over. He said, you want this sin so bad? You turned from me and worshiped the creature more than the creator. You've turned, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you have your sin in full measure. In full measure. And he did. But he was never unfaithful. Never unfaithful to his people. Never unfaithful to Israel. The moment they repented and came back, he was there for them. That great verse in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, are they good plans, right? You know that verse was in captivity. You do know they were in captivity when he gave that verse. He was never unfaithful to them, ever. And they came back. I want us to know his faithfulness endures. And I know his faithfulness has endured me. But his faithfulness endures to all generations. All generations. Wherever this country goes, wherever our sons and daughters and grandkids go, he may turn them over to their sin and let them drink the full cup. But the moment they repent and turn back to him, he will be faithful. Based on this verse, his faithfulness endures to all generations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When my faithfulness to you wavers, your faithfulness endures to all generations. Whether I'm here or not, whether I'm here to guide them and to hover over them or not, his faithfulness endures. That's two. Let's look at another one. I think this one's kind of lame, but it's the answer. There's a lot going on. In verse 90, the second half, you have established the earth and it stands fast. You've established the earth and it stands fast. So several years ago, former Vice President Al Gore came up with this thing called global warming. It's now called climate change. If you haven't figured out the change of language, that's what we're talking about. It's called climate change. And so much of what we see going on this global level is some reflection as well of climate change. It's part of that soup or that stew of global change that's happening now, that in some way we as a people are thinking the thought of climate change, and our reaction is that we have to save our planet. We have to preserve the resources of our planet. And so that's a big part of where our nation and our globe, as we look toward globalism, that's where we're going. There's some population control involved in that. There's some different things. But climate change is a, what they say, is a threat. And so you have things like the Green New Deal and globalism, where we have to look at saving our planet. As I read this passage, we are never in charge of saving our planet. We are totally incapable of saving our planet. Totally incapable. That's a joke. For you and I, a little speck on this little mound, this little ant hill, to think in some way, shape, or form you and I have anywhere near the capability of saving this planet, it's a joke. For you have established the earth, and it stands fast, and by your appointment they stand this day, for it is your servant. All things are your servant. Now, with that said, I want to be a good steward of the beautiful, beautiful earth God has given me to live on. I don't want to throw my plastic bottles out my car window. I don't want to pour my greasy solvents into the water system, right? We want to be good stewards of this beautiful, beautiful earth God's given us. But never, ever, ever think it's in charge. We're in charge of saving this planet. It stands today and will stand until He folds it up and puts it away like a worn-out pair of clothing. It will stand and function and move because God said so. It's His servant. It's His servant. At the least, I would say don't panic. At the least, don't panic. The earth is not going to fry itself unless God says so. At the very, very least, don't panic. And here's an interesting thought for you. If God really is in charge of our planet, He really does know what's best. It stands by His appointment. And if there is somewhat of a climate change happening, and you know, you can argue that if you want, if that's your gig, but if that's true, and let's just pretend there's some climate change happening, isn't it possible that God may be adjusting the thermostat? Alexa, turn the temperature up a couple degrees. Isn't that possible that the one who really created it all, that the one who holds it in place this day, has merely just adjusted the thermostat for the good of the planet and the nation? And He can turn it back down. Alexa, turn the temperature back down a couple. I mean, don't you do that in your house? And can't He do that with His house? Could well be. So don't panic. Just be a good steward. And turn to Psalm 119 and say, God has established this earth, and it stands today, and it's His servant. Now, if you'd like a New Testament verse for that, I'll give you one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Speaking of Jesus, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. I love that sound. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That means He is the firstborn positional, like child. It means he's going to get the whole family inheritance. That's what it means. The firstborn of all creation, he's going to inherit it all. It's all his. For, why? For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. He is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. That in everything, everything, he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He's going to inherit it. It's all his inheritance. All the earth, everything, every authority, every power, everything, sun, moon, stars, everything was created by him, through him, and for him. And they're all his inheritance. They hold together by Jesus. You and I, let's just put this whole thing down. You and I will never, ever, 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 ever be preserving or saving this planet. It will never happen. Ever happen. That's a joke. He will. He will. It holds together by his appointment, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Number four, giving you things to be thankful for. Aren't you glad you have that one off your plate? You're not in charge of saving the planet. Number four, verse 91. By your appointment, they stand this day. For all things, everything serves God. By your appointment, they stand. Now, quite honestly, when I read this, the first word that jumped out to me was the word, they stand. By your appointment, they stand. So everything, we just read in Colossians, they all stand, they all hold together, everything, by the appointment of God through Jesus Christ, they stand, they endure, they will function today or tomorrow. I know there are meteors flying around this universe. Oh, that one just missed the earth. Oh, this one's happening. I know the planet is burning. I know it. They stand by the appointment of God. And I saw that word stand, and I said, man, you know what's really cool about that is that you and I are as well told we can stand. Right? Ephesians chapter 6. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to develop this one a little bit. Because you and I are very clearly told we can stand. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. You're probably familiar with some of this passage, the armor of God passage. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that you may be able to, verse 11, to stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And he does have schemes. So there's the word of God that we're to take. And the helmet, it's always good to protect your mind with that truth of salvation. I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. Why does a pastor 60-some years old who's been saved for so long still have to put that helmet on and say, no, Terry, you're saved. It's going to be okay. And I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that I will stand. In verse 13, it says, and you will be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Verse 14, stand therefore. So, I mean, we are told that we have the ability to withstand the day and to stand. And to stand. But there was a little something else here that kind of caught my eye when I read this passage. And I told Terry, I said, you know what's really, if there's a bright spot in the difficulty we're facing in 2020, it's that so many passages just are taking on new meaning. And so I thought, that's really cool. If this planet stands by the appointment of God, and I'm His, and He says, hey, brother, sister, you can stand. You can withstand, and you can stand this day because you're mine. Because you're mine. And I've appointed this day. Here's my forever word. Take it. Put on the whole armor. I've made it so you can stand. I thought, well, that's really cool. I like that. However, look at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And keep in mind Psalm 119. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This is what we're standing, what we're wrestling against. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So, we have cosmic powers and authorities and rulers over this present darkness in our land. And it is a spiritual battle. There are huge, huge authorities and powers exerting influence in this present darkness. And the passage Debbie read said right in the middle of it, don't give an opportunity to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. I'm going to give you some directive from my word how not to open the door for the devil. Because he's got to make connection here somewhere. And that's how he'll do it. But that Ephesians 6:12 passage says that we don't wrestle against each other. We're wrestling against this cosmic powers and forces in the heavens. In the heavens. In Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. And I don't know what these authorities and spiritual powers, I don't know what this warfare looks like in the heavens. There's three of them, right? There's the sky and the atmosphere and the heaven where all these spiritual beings live and dwell. We know there's a battle. You can read Jude and see about them wrestling for the body of Moses, contending. That we know there's a battle going on. We don't wrestle against each other. We are wrestling. There is some sort of a spiritual battle going on. And I don't know what it looks like there, lobbing shells at the gates of heaven. I don't know. This much I do know. God's word is forever fixed in the heavens. And the walls that are keeping these authorities out, that are turning back their threats, the walls are the word of God. In heaven, firmly fixed forever, that Satan and all of his authorities and powers will never ever breach in heaven or on earth for you and I. Because we hold the forever most powerful force known to man or spiritual being. It's God's declared word and will. And it will never, never be defeated. And you hold it, and you read it, and you study it, you learn it to do and teach it. And you put on the whole armor, and you will never fall. You can stand. And having withstood everything in this present darkness, you and I in this little church, we will stand, because His word will never fail. It stands in the heavens and on earth. And for all generations, it is what we need to stand. We have it. We have it. It's absolutely, absolutely amazing. It's huge. That's huge. And there it is. And that little bit is all the power of the whole universe, of everything He created, everything we get in Jesus Christ, the power of the declared will of God, the living Word of God, Jesus Christ in book form. There it is. It holds heaven and the second heaven and the third heaven. It holds it all together. And He says, man, put on the helmet of salvation. You are saved. You are mine. And pick up the word. It's your sword. You will stand. That's amazing. That's amazing. So I would say, maybe number six, rely on and build on God's word. It's not oversimplistic. It's bigger than life, bigger than this planet. It extends into the heavens. It's our hope. It's our stability. It's our anchor of faith and courage. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, see, this was a foundational thing. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. It's just that simple. He just says, my words. It's my words. It's the living word saying, take my words and build your house on them, and you will stand against all the wind and all the rain and the beating and the flooding. You will stand if you take my words and do them. Do them. You're building on the rock. The rock that stands on earth. The rock that is firmly established in the heavens where we wrestle. This Thanksgiving, as you probably picked up in my wife's tone, in the subtle emotion of my wife, this Thanksgiving has been a bit challenging, not only for us, maybe for you too. When I read and study scriptures like this, man, it fills me up. Man, I go, yeah, you can't stop me. That's cool. I don't have to save the planet or my life or my family or this world or the government. I just need to be about the Word. It's the Word. Get in it and let it feed you and strengthen you. So let me just draw a mental picture for you. This word, it's like a tool shed. It's like a supply room in a factory, or if you want to go big, go at, you know, MSC. But it's a big supply room for God and for us, okay? That's this right here. So with this big supply room called God's Word, in it are all His declarations, appointments, all His will, all His established truth, His power, and where we go to find it. It's all here. It's a huge, huge supply room. And when you, like at your workplace, when you go to the supply room, there's someone there to say, what do you need? And when we go to our supply room, we first find Jesus, the living Word. And He hands out supplies for everything we need to stand and to win, to be victorious, to be fruitful. There's Jesus at the door of the supply room, and the first thing He hands us is the Holy Spirit and the local church, the church body. You need the Spirit, and you need friends. You need family. You need believers around you, and you have to have the Holy Spirit to have life. And so we get those first right off the bat. We meet Jesus, boom. Spirit, boom. Family and friends, right? And He gives us armor, tells us to put on truth and righteousness. And we know truth and righteousness because it's in here. It's in the Word. He teaches us those things. And then He says to put on the helmet, salvation. How many times have you and I had to remind ourselves, no, I'm His. No, I'm His. Oh, I'm His. These winds are beating and howling and floods, but I'm His. I'm His. I'm His. And it's just amazing. We put that on. And then He puts on the table, right? Here's what you're going to need. And He says, here. Take it. Take that sword. You're going to need that for the battle ahead. Take it. And it's absolutely amazing that even Paul in Ephesians said, and take the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He had to tell him, take it. Go ahead, take it. I know you have the armor on, but you're going out to battle, and you need to take the sword. Pastor Tom Askell, in a recent video we watched, he said, you can take it or leave it, he said he thinks one of the biggest dangers to the church today is that we assume we know the Word of God. Christians assuming they know the Word of God is a huge danger to the church today. They're clearly told to pick it up and take it into battle, but they assume. It soon becomes powerless and forgotten and impotent. And oftentimes wrong, because you can read it or study it a little bit and then you put it down and you walk away and you go, okay, I've got it. And we assume that we know instead of learning it, to teach it, and to do it. Learning it every day to teach it. And listen, let me read this to you. And tell me if this has anything to do with us. I've heard it, been to church, I know what the Bible says, I'm good. I know what it says. Listen. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You're supposed to be talking about the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house. Does that sound anything like assuming I know the Word of God? I don't need to read it anymore. I know what it says. Does that sound anything like that? Write it everywhere in your house. And everywhere you go, everything you do, walking, sitting, talking, at the supper table, everything you do, you learn it to teach it and to do it, that you may live long in the land. See, he's right, I think. The greatest danger is assuming we know it, when it goes so much further than that. We learn it to do it and to teach it and to just keep teaching it to our children and our children's children and anybody that'll listen. We just keep multiplying it that we might live long in the land. And so he says, look, there's the helmet and there's the word. Pick it up and take it. Take it. You're going to need it. You're going to use it every single day. So I was driving to work about a month ago, and it was pretty early, and I pulled up at the stoplight there at 17 and Middlebury Street, and I'm sitting there, and just kind of sleeping through, and I look down in the turn lane, and I see this little, like, plastic-looking sheath. And it was just right after Halloween, so my first thought, I said, oh, man, some kid lost his little plastic sword. That's a bummer. And I looked over there, and there wasn't anybody really there, and there was this little metal thing standing, and I thought, and I got out of my truck, and I walked over, and I picked that thing up, and it had been run over and broken. And there it was, laying there in the turn lane. And I said, my goodness. And I looked around. There was this little car pulled up behind with these two young guys, and they were kind of all down, and I went, and they were laughing. I said, no, that's a sword. It, you know, in Ephesians, you may already know it, but the sword that's mentioned is not a long sword. It's this sword. It's about this size. It's about an 18-inch hand sword. It's for hand battle. This sword has an edge here, for sure, and then another edge here, and it's got a little deveiner, like might be a hunting thing, and this could do quite the damage. It's like a hunter's thing where you could cut brush here and here and here, and it's even sharpened here. I mean, this dude will work. This dude will work, and it's just the size that Paul was talking about in Ephesians. Take it with you. You're going to need it. You're going to need this where you're going. Don't assume you have it. Make sure you take it up every day. Take that with you. You'd look kind of foolish running out in the battlefield with no sword. Just, and we do. And we do. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Learn it and teach it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing, encouraging one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your sword, Lord, the Word of God. Pick it up. Pick it up. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take it. Learn it. Teach it. Do it. Never stop. Whether you walk or whether you sit or whether you're eating, never stop. You need it. In this day, we need the Word of God. Forever. Forever, firmly fixed in the heavens and on earth and to all generations. It is forever. It is forever. Let's pray. Thank you. Lord, what a gift. What a gift. Thank you. Oh, Lord, teach me your word that I can share it. Give me boldness of speech. Fill me with your spirit. Thank you for the encouragement and the strength that's been Terry and I, to our family here, our friends, our brothers, the church. We've built on it for centuries now. Lord, take away our fear. May we rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.